Hey, everybody. This episode is brought to you by my friends at ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Secure your device, anonymize your online activity, protect your action online. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Help our show out by also helping yourself protect yourself. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Hey, everybody. James O'Keefe is banned from Twitter. You are not allowed to share stories on BLM Incorporated's real estate empire from the New York Post or Daily Mail. Something is happening here, and we dive into it and explain it. We talk about how free speech is not a value that the left actually enjoys and how this all ties in together with the politics of the moment. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to support us and our program, please go to charliekirk.com/support. I want to thank some of our generous supporters. I want to thank Laura from Tennessee. Thank you. I want to thank Kate from Dundee, Illinois. I know where that is. Thank you. I want to thank Pamela from Alabama. Thank you. And I want to thank Tim for your very generous support, incredibly generous support from Aurora, Colorado. At charliekirk.com/support. Email us your thoughts and questions. Again, freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Look, I want to tell you about Tommy John. One word that you have to remember with Tommy John. This is it. Comfort. That's it. It's comfortable. They don't have customers. They have fanatics. In fact, I met a guy the other day. He said, I'm a Tommy John fanatic. It was actually incredible. His eyes were open, and he was so excited to talk to me about Tommy John. And I said, my goodness, you should be selling this. But anyway, they have over hundreds of thousands of fanatics. In fact, who are 13 years and tens of thousands of five-star reviews called Tommy John the most comfortable underwear ever. Because with dozens of comfort innovations, once you've tried Tommy John underwear, you're never going back. Like breathable, lightweight, moisture-wicking fabric with four times the stretch of competing brands. With over 13 million pairs sold, men across America love Tommy John underwear. And there's no risk because you're covered with Tommy John's best pair you'll ever wear or its free guarantee. So go right now to get 20% off your first order at TommyJohn.com/freedom. And again, I love wearing Tommy John. People love it. And you should get it too. That's 20% off your first order of underwear and loungewear at TommyJohn.com/freedom. TommyJohn/freedom. See site for details. I want to start with this question. Who's in charge of our country? We've been exploring this together for the last couple of weeks. It's definitely not Joe Biden. And it seems as if there is a new power structure in our country that's outside of the government. Private companies that fund the political campaigns of people in both political parties are a bigger threat to our freedoms and liberties than even our own government. Now, I'm not saying that our government is not a threat to our freedoms and liberties. Of course it is. But we have a process to make sure that those freedoms and liberties are protected and not infringed upon. The Second Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, even the Eighth Amendment. Due process, cross-examination of witnesses, a speedy trial of your peers, not to have excessive bail. All these things are clearly defined in the Bill of Rights. But what's to prevent private companies from infringing upon our God-granted liberties? We're in an entirely new state of affairs, and it's because of technology, and it's because of Republicans' unwillingness, or quite honestly, their lack of understanding of these issues, that we're in the situation that we are in. You see, growing up in the conservative movement in 2012 and 2013, I was trained to believe that the only threat to our liberties was government. That's not true. That's an incomplete statement. It's one of our threats to our liberties. And so while we were solely focused on preventing the rise of the fourth branch of government, as we were solely focused on the IRS, on the EPA, on the albatross of the government agencies, which is a legitimate threat to small business owners, to people's livelihood, we ignored, and in fact, the conservative movement was funded by many of the companies that are now actually a greater existential threat to our first freedoms. And so now we're in a very dangerous situation. I use that word dangerous intentionally, where the people that are actually deciding whether or not you're allowed to say something are unelected, very wealthy. They're unknown to you. There is no rights of redress or grievances. There's no way to sue yourself, to sue to represent yourself. And of course, we're talking about not just the tech companies. We're talking about the small group of CEOs from Delta Airlines to Coca-Cola that are controlling the flow of information. Yesterday was a shock and awe moment for those of us that analyze and view the news outside of just the sloppy and boring Republicans are good and Democrats are bad. I'm exhausted with that type of commentary. That's not what we do here. And that's why our show is probably one of the fastest growing podcasts in the country and the fastest growing radio show in the country, because we actually go a level deeper. We tell you why we believe what we believe. We're actually defending America, the nation, not just the Republican Party, because they're not Democrats. And today we're going to actually have some very choice words for some Republicans by name for what they've done to our country. Yesterday, the Democrats started in the morning by saying they wanted to expand the United States Supreme Court. We played this tape previously. Let's play it again. Of Ed Markey, Cut 86, senator from Massachusetts, saying that Republicans stole two seats on the Supreme Court. We have to undo that damage. Cut 86.
The Republicans stole two seats on the Supreme Court, and now it is up to us to repair that damage. Our democracy is in jeopardy today because the Supreme Court's standing is sorely damaged. And the way we repair it is straightforward. We undo the damage that the Republicans have done by restoring balance. And we do it by adding four seats to the court to create a 13-member Supreme Court.
Expanding the Supreme Court. That was the Democrats' opening argument in the morning. Jerry Nadler, Cut 83. He reinforced this point. Hard to believe he's still a congressman that people take seriously. Cut 83.
As our country has grown, so too to the Supreme Court. 13 justices for 13 circuits is a logical progression. And that is another reason why I'm glad to join my colleagues in introducing the Judiciary Act of 2021 to establish the Supreme Court size as 13. And it also will enable us to do justice and to rectify the great injustice that was done in packing the court. And some people will say we're packing the court. We're not packing it. We're unpacking it.
So why are they doing this? Well, it's because the one branch of government they do not have total and complete control of. I can go into how bad of an idea court packing is, but I think it's rather self-evident. I think a lot of shows that have been focusing on that are missing the point. They're trying to move the Overton window. And those of you that listen to our program, you know what the Overton window is, which is a spectrum, a continuum of which political ideas operate on. They're intentionally trying to expand the conversation. So then later in the day, the American left, after saying they want to expand the United States Supreme Court, they went on a political blitzkrieg against opponents. And I use that word intentionally. It was a shock and awe campaign. It happened quickly. It was done decisively. And it was covered by almost no one. So we covered earlier in the week how the heroic James O'Keefe uncovered how CNN was illegally operating as a Democrat super PAC. In fact, that they were publishing propaganda. We actually covered, more so than I think most people did, how CNN might have a legal exposure to this. How CNN admitted that they were cheering for the death rate numbers to go up. Well, then what happened to James O'Keefe yesterday? And you might not know this because most people didn't cover it. James O'Keefe, head of Project Veritas, lost access to his Twitter account. You see how this works? You expose CNN, then somebody on the American left, they're going to go send the muscle after you. And the muscle It's not the government agency. No, it's your access to your nearly 1 million Twitter followers. James O'Keefe on Sean Hannity, Cut 98.
Yeah, Sean, I mean, a lot of lawsuits come from Project Veritas here. We won in the Supreme Court in New York against the New York Times for defamation, and now we're going to go ahead and sue Twitter for suspending my account and falsely and maliciously claiming that I did something that I did not do. And I speak on behalf of a lot of people. I started this because I was fighting against injustice. It's wrong what they're doing. They defame millions of people. They defame people every day. And we will not lose.
I'm not sure if James is going to win against Twitter. James is a good friend of mine. I'm actually cynical that he's going to win against Twitter in court, but I'm cheering for him, obviously. The deeper point that is so obvious is that James O'Keefe exposes CNN, and CNN calls Twitter and says, make it hurt. It's that simple. All of these power sources defend each other. They look out for each other. After January 6th, Twitter finally saw an opportunity to get rid of Parler, so they called Amazon. By the way, Twitter spends over $15 million a month on Amazon Web Services. And they called Google and they called Apple and they said, make it hurt. So the tech companies took care of one of their own, and Twitter had their competitor removed. There's another story that we covered earlier this week of how the head of BLM Incorporated, Patrice Kahn-Cullors, has built a real estate empire that would rival Ted Turner. Ted Turner, of course, is the owner of CNN, and is the largest landowner in the country. She has five homes, millions of dollars in value. Well, now you will lose your Twitter account or Facebook account if you dare share that article, similar to how if you'd share the article of Hunter Biden back in October. I think you know what's really happening here. You have a group of people that are not just restricting free speech, they are manipulating the flow of information. If you can silence the king, you are the king. Look, by now you've all heard me talk about MyPillow and how Mike has done it again by introducing his My Slippers. Mike Lindell, he's got a lot of ambition. He's a patriot. He loves his country. A lot of people like Mike Lindell. In fact, I get emails from people. They say, Charlie, how can I help you? How can I help Mike Lindell? How can I help the country? Well, if you go to MyPillow.com and buy anything with the promo code Kirk, it helps both of us. That's right. Maybe you want to go buy the MyPillow slippers. They're beautiful slippers. Maybe you want to buy the MyPillow. MyPillow slippers are so comfortable that you want to get some for the whole family. So go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use promo code Kirk. You'll also get deep discounts on MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream bedsheets, the MyPillow mattress toppers, and MyPillow towel sets. Or call 800-875-0425 and use promo code Kirk. So James O'Keefe exposed CNN and now has lost his Twitter account. Action, punishment. Whoever can levy the sword of Damocles is the person who has a power, is the person that has the power. It's who's in charge. Liberals are completely silent about this because there was a time when liberals used to love free speech, and that's when they were in need of it. Now liberals are intoxicated with power, so they're indifferent or uninterested in free speech. Free speech is actually a threat to them. You see, liberals back in the 60s and 70s were a minority of our nation. They were not in control of our major institutions. They controlled some colleges. They controlled no corporations. They were left to the streets, to the strategy and tactics of Saul Alinsky, Barack Hussein Obama, and Bill Ayers. Weather Underground, Bernadine Dorn, Angela Davis, they were the fringe. John Kerry burning draft cards, all of it. But they were ambassadors of free speech. You see, they used Saul Alinsky's manual for radicals, Rules for Radicals, 13 rules, where the dedication is actually written to Lucifer. And they said, use the enemy's own book of rules against them. It's brilliant. So what did the radicals do? They said, aha, let's challenge the conservative nation, which it was, because if you look at Nixon versus Kennedy, they'd both be Tea Party Republicans nowadays. They'd both be MAGA hat wearing Republicans. John F. Kennedy was talking about a strong nation, strict immigration, ending endless wars. Nixon was basically like, I agree with you generally. The parties were so far in the direction of preserving the American nation state. And so what did the liberals demand in the 60s and 70s? They said, this is what we're going to do. We are going to put the conservatives on defense and say we stand for the American ideal of freedom of speech. Now, why did the liberals say that? Did they actually ever believe in freedom of speech? Well, people like Alan Dershowitz probably did, but no. They used it as a short-term utility and a short-term tool to grow their power base, knowing that as soon as they were in charge, they were going to shut off the mechanism of free speech. When in reality, they were totalitarians that used freedom of speech to grow their ranks and grow their influence around a pleasure-seeking political party, not a virtue-seeking political party. Big difference. And so the liberals that used to be for flag burning, that used to be for draft card burning, that used to be for the most graphic forms of expression that one can imagine. And I always get a chuckle out of the left. They're very quick to go defend Hugh Hefner and his right to free speech. But if you dare, as a pastor, want to go open your church, then all of a sudden that form of free speech will not be protected. Because this idea of liberals caring about freedom of expression was always a farce. And so now that the very same liberals, I should call them leftists, but liberals are so quiet at this moment where we have seen the greatest private assault on freedoms and liberties in American history. Let me say that again. This is the greatest private assault. You see, conservatives have spent all their money on judges, on lawsuit reform. That stuff has been helpful. So you're not seeing state-based actors going after James O'Keefe. He will have plenty of those. He sued the state of New York. They've audited him. They've investigated him. But again, because we have a framework that our founders gave us, when the state of New York goes after James O'Keefe, guess what? He gets lawyers. He gets depositions. He gets due process. He gets cross-examination witnesses. And he gets a judge. Okay, there's a process. But when Twitter goes after James O'Keefe, what is the process? So all of the conservative resources and money and energy and think tanks were focused on this fear that we'd have a Soviet-style takeover from our own government. And we've actually slowed that down. There's still a threat of that. There's injustice happening every day. I'm not dismissing it. But there is zero firewall for our freedoms and liberties when now a small collection of companies from Menlo Park come after James O'Keefe. They came after the Daily Mail and the New York Post. So the New York Post and the Daily Mail, which is kind of a tabloidy type website, they actually do a pretty good job, I have to say. They are not allowed on social media to share any stories around BLM Incorporated co-founder Patrice Kahn Cullors, because it's been exposed that she has a massive real estate empire. Now, Patrice Cullors has now tried to justify this of Cut 97, that she's still a Marxist, don't worry. She owns five homes as a Marxist, but I see it as my family's money. This is who's leading our country, by the way. Patrice Kahn Cullors has more power than Mitch McConnell. Play tape.
For so many Black folks who are able to invest in themselves and their community, they choose to invest in their family. And that's what I've chosen to do. I have a child. I have a brother that has severe mental illness that I take care of. I support my mother, and I support many other family members of mine. And so I see my money as not my own. I see it as my family's money as well.
Wait, hold on. If it's your family's money, then why on your website do you say you want to destroy the Western prescribed nuclear family? Why do you want to destroy the family when you say the family? What is a family, Patrice Kahn Cullors? Is the family instrumental to a society? Are you sure your brother is your brother and not your sister? Because I thought that BLM Incorporated says gender is fluid. You see, as soon as someone like Patrice Kahn Cullors comes under a moment of pressure, she will immediately resort to Western values to defend her ideas. Her ideas of this postmodernist construct that she's been retreating to and her whole website is built around, they're so fickle and fragile, and they shatter in a moment of criticism. However, Patrice Kahn-Colors, she has more power than Mitch McConnell. What do I mean by that? Well, Patrice Kahn-Colors mobilized her group of activists at BLM Incorporated, and they started to make phone calls. They called Twitter. They called Facebook. And now it is today, the Daily Mail piece that exposed Patrice Kahn-Colors and the New York Post piece is not allowed to be shared on any social media sites. That shows that she owns 5 homes. You cannot say that. Now, they say it violates her privacy, which, of course, it doesn't. This is all public information. None of the actual specific addresses are there. However, there is a piece written about me last year where my address was put in there and my information was put on there, and that was shared multiple times on social media by a left-wing activist network. What about the McCloskey family that came out with their own firearms in front of their home, criminalized for it? We all know where they lived. What about Andy Ngo when his personal information was publicized on social media? This does not stand up against any sort of cross-examination, but the social media companies are now saying to Daily Mail and New York Post, you are not allowed to criticize Patrice Kahn-Colors and BLM Incorporated. But they didn't come to that decision on their own. There was a private pressure campaign. I guarantee you there was a private pressure campaign by Patrice Kahn-Colors and her BLM Incorporated activists where they worked the phones at Twitter and they said, we need you to suppress this story. And if not, we're going to come after you for perpetuating white supremacy. That's the way the stuff works now, is that we're going to privately lean on these tech companies, and these tech companies will now do the bidding and they'll do the enforcement of the most radical groups in our country that are destroying the essence and the fabric of America. And so you have this network of mass media communication groups, of activists like Patrice Kahn-Colors, college campuses, that all work in harmony with each other, to cover each other, to defend each other, when any sort of piece of criticism might come after them. Everybody's mother always says, eat your vegetables. And even as adults, we have excuses why we don't eat them. They taste terrible. They're too much trouble to prepare. Your mom wanted you to eat your fruits and veggies because you knew that's how we get and stay healthy. While your mom never listened to your excuses, Balance of Nature has listened. All 10 servings of fruits and veggies are in just 6 small capsules. There's no trouble. Always fresh, nothing artificial, and ready to take. And the cost, literally pennies per serving. Balance of Nature's fruit and vegetables, no hassle, no weird flavors, and mere pennies per serving. Join me and experience the Balance of Nature difference for yourself. For a limited time, all new preferred customers will receive an additional 35% discount and free shipping on your first Balance of Nature order. Use discount code CHARLIE. Call 800-246-8751 or go to Balance of Nature and use the discount code CHARLIE. Okay, let's go to cut 101 on how the First Amendment freedoms that these companies enjoy is not absolute. Cut 101.
Yes, absolutely. Thanks, Sean. You're absolutely correct. We have seen it become very difficult for public figures to sue media entities because of a number of doctrines under the First Amendment, but we're beginning to see the tide turn. And the First Amendment protections that these companies enjoy, the media companies, that is not absolute. And so, like the New York case that you mentioned, and like this factual circumstance, Twitter made specific factual statements about our client that are false. And even with the malice standard, those are actionable.
Now, none of this is actually because of the merits of what they're accusing James O'Keefe of, using multiple accounts. No, this is punishment for exposing CNN. So how did we get here? We got here because of a confused and corrupt Republican Party that had an opportunity to regulate these companies. Now, some people say that these companies are private and they should be treated as such. but they control all the lines of communication and the public discourse in our country. Did you know that only 7% of adults in America are not on the internet daily? 7%. So 93% of all adults are consuming information daily on the internet. What websites are those? Facebook, YouTube, Google, Instagram. Instagram and Facebook and YouTube and Google are obviously the same company, and Twitter. And so when those companies have the power to be able to just shut James O'Keefe up, is that constitutional? Well, it might be, in essence, if you look at it as a private company in the moment, but it's against the spirit of the United States Constitution. The United States Constitution is a document that protects your God-granted liberties and freedoms against a small group of people that do not have your consent to take those rights and freedoms away. And that's precisely what's happening with the people that are running our tech companies. And interestingly enough, James O'Keefe has exposed these tech companies. Remember when James O'Keefe exposed the Facebook executive a couple weeks ago? Remember when James O'Keefe exposed the people that are running these tech companies with those undercover videos? So where did Republicans go wrong here? Why have they refused to launch an offensive campaign against these companies and against these power sources? It's because most Republicans that are in office are afraid to use any political power that they have. Republicans are terrified of using political power to save the nation. And Democrats are enthusiastic about using political power to change the nation. And so we're at this moment of time where everything that we hold dear to our nation and to ourselves is being choked out by the same type of person, an activist with far too much power. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes, Fiat, Kia, and models, it is now impossible to stock all the parts you need on a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computer, choosing the only brand his warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. Rockauto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. Rockauto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine, control modules, and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Go to RockAuto.com right now to see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Charlie Kirk in there, "How'd you hear about us?" section. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Let's get to a cut here. Let's play cut 102. James O'Keefe of what he will do when he sues Twitter, who's now banned from Twitter. They have digitally assassinated him. They brought him up to the modern day guillotine and they cut his Twitter head off. Play tape.
Sean, we not only are we going to get discovery, we've already passed motion to dismiss New York Supreme Court. A lot of people are going to be suing. This is about a people's defamation defense fund. So many people are lied about by the media. And this is about fundamental principles, taking on tyranny. A guy at CNN calling their outlook propaganda. And yet Twitter suspends me. So we are not going to lose. We can't afford to lose. We will depose Twitter people about what they wrote. I will publish those depositions on YouTube. We're the only ones who can do it. I will be the tip of that spear. And we're going to create a movement of people.
It's worth going back and replaying what James O'Keefe actually exposed. Let's go to cut 48. And this was James O'Keefe exposing the CNN technical director who admitted that they were publishing Biden propaganda to try to get Trump out. Now, by the way, this is illegal for a publicly chartered communication company, according to the FCC. This is illegal. They're operating as a Democrat super PAC. And if you dare expose them, they're going to punish you. Cut 48.
Look what we did. We got Trump out. I am 100% going to say it. And I 100% believe it, that if it wasn't for CNN, I don't know that Trump would have gotten voted out.
Our focus was to get Trump out of office, right? Without saying it, that's what it was, right?
Trump was, I don't know, like his hand was shaking or whatever. We brought in like so many medical people to like all tell a story that like it was all speculation. But he was like neurological damage, like that he was losing it. He's unfit to, you know, whatever. We were creating a story there that we didn't know anything about. You know, that's I think that's probably it.
And so the Democrats are playing for keeps, everybody. They are using their channels of communication to publish propaganda. They admit that. And if you dare expose it, then you lose your Twitter accounts. And so this is a bigger question that I think conservatives are uncomfortable with. We're not uncomfortable with it. Are you willing to use whatever power you have at your disposal to defeat the left? And some conservatives say, no, we would rather lose and not use whatever power we have because one day that power could be used against us. Guess what? That power is getting used against it. It is. So either you admit that we are in a moment of a power struggle with the left, not some sort of Socratic seminar debate in a freshman philosophy class or a coffee shop discussion. You see, the left is playing for keeps in a power grab, and we think we're in the midst of a debate. So what does that actually mean? Well, that means whatever power sources that we have, we must exercise our control and push back against the left. So what does that look like? How about our purchasing power? We're not going to buy these products anymore. We're going to start new tech companies. Whatever sort of power we have at our disposal, we better start using it because the left is playing for keeps. Republicans better realize quickly, this is not a normal political moment. You have half of the political power structure in our country, 50-50 in the U.S. Senate, that want a completely different vision, and they're willing to use their power to get it done. Long gone are the days of us nobly losing and managing the decline of the country. That's not going to happen any longer. As far as I have breath in my lungs, and we have the influence that we have and the growing following that we have. So here's an example of this. Why did Republicans, including some of my friends, by the way, good people, vote to confirm this anti-American activist to be the United Nations ambassador? This was in the Wall Street Journal today. The ambassador of Blame America First. In fact, it was written by the editorial board, and good for you, Wall Street Journal, for writing this piece. I want to give you a compliment for that. I haven't agreed with all your commentary as of late, but this is a good piece. Listen to what the United Nations ambassador for our country, the U.S. ambassador to the UN. This is the U.S. ambassador to the world, basically the second most important person when it comes to diplomacy outside of the United States Secretary of State. Play tape.
I shared these stories and others to acknowledge on the international stage that I have personally experienced one of America's greatest imperfections. I've seen for myself how the original sin of slavery weaved white supremacy into our founding documents and principles.
So I know nothing about this woman, but here's a little bit of a self-evident truth. If you're a black woman who has become the U.S. ambassador to the UN, you're probably not a good example of how racist America is. You're probably the worst ambassador to make this sales pitch. Now, if you were somehow, I don't know, you had your arm chopped off from the KKK in rural Oklahoma when you were a child, and you're blind and you've never achieved anything because of a racist insurrection that came after you and your family, I'd have more sympathy for you. You're literally the United States ambassador to the UN, and I have to be lectured from you about how terrible our country is. But this is not a college professor. This is not Patrice Concolors. I could have played that tape to anyone, and I would say, who do you think said that? You'd say, oh, Rachel Maddow or Rashida Tlaib. No, she's our spokesperson to the world, and she's also lying to you. America was not founded on slavery. I think we do a very good job on this program talking about this, and repetition is the soul of memory. Northwest Ordinance, Northwest Territories abolished slavery. Vermont abolished slavery in 1777. Thomas Jefferson abolished the importation of new slaves in 1803. It was in the United States Constitution. It's never a question of if we were going to abolish slavery, it's how we were going to abolish slavery. John Quincy Adams, America's sixth president, is that right? Yes, America's sixth president, was an absolute abolitionist, son of John Adams. I could go through every single example of this, but she's choosing to lie to you. Why? Because she actually becomes more important if she's a victim, not a victor. So what's her name? I actually haven't heard of her until this week. Ambassador Linda Thomas Greenfield. Again, I know nothing about her life or her story. I don't know if she grew up in poverty. I don't know if she was the son of someone really wealthy, a daughter of someone really wealthy. But I'm not going to assume her gender. She looks like a woman. So, but I am going to say that all of a sudden you're going to now do the Ursula Burns thing. You're doing the Oprah Winfrey thing, that I'm successful, I'm rich, I'm now in a public position of power as a black woman, but I'm now going to tell the rest of black America, you can't do this because America's racist. And she said this, quote, she said she will be, one of her priorities will be addressing racial injustice, and spoke of her own experience with discrimination. So how about this, Ambassador Linda Thomas Greenfield? Why don't you go criticize legitimately racist nations? Why don't you go do that? Have you offered a statement about how racist Iran is? Or how about China? No, you're instead worried about the least racist nation on the planet and the one ever to exist, the United States of America. She says, I've seen for myself how the original sin of slavery weaved white supremacy into our founding documents and principles. Please elaborate, Ambassador Linda Thomas Greenfield. Because if America was so racist, how on earth did you become UN ambassador for our country? Maybe America's so not racist that only someone as stupid as you could become UN ambassador for our country. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. If you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com. Email us your thoughts and your questions at freedom@charliekirk.com. God bless. Speak to you soon.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.